Hic dies quam fecit Dominus. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. A very happy Easter, in the words of a medieval carol, to all and some. Today, many people will be attending Easter Mass and Easter services remotely. Of course, it won't be the same as before. But then, that's what people thought those days surrounding the first Easter. It won't be the same as it was before. This morning, we will hear just one brief portion of Handel's Messiah. I'll never understand how this oratorio got locked into Advent in Canada, because it was written for Eastertide. It was first performed in Dublin on April 13, 1742. Strangely, in that year, Easter fell on March 25th, Feast of the Annunciation, two first-class feasts falling on the same day. I'm sure they sorted it out somehow. But that meant that the first performance of Messiah took place during the third week of Eastertide. And the second performance was about a year later, again during Eastertide. This is an Easter composition. Handel's Messiah has many choruses and arias which are appropriate for Easter. But I am particularly struck by one of its more transparent, poignant movements. Since by man came death. This brief movement is all about contrasts. Contrasts which originate in the words of St. Paul, preserved in 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22. The librettist, Charles Jennens, drew this text from the King James Version. As so many of you know from singing, it reads, "Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." In these two brief verses, Paul contrasts the old sinful state governed by death with the new state built on our hope of life after death. Paul's proof, Easter. Handel's music highlights these two sets of contrasting statements. In each verse, the initial statement about death is sung in the lower register, sung softly, in a foreboding minor key, bereft of all instrumental support. Not even the basso continuo was heard after the initial chord, a chord which simply gives the choir its new pitch. The choir then sings of death, very deliberately, softly, almost as though we are at a funeral. The ears of the audience initially struggle, adjusting to the new a cappella sound. The second half of each verse bursts upon us with joy. The choir springs into new life, singing in a new register. The choir is also singing more quickly, suggesting the contrast between the quick and the dead. The instrumentalists rise, as it were, from their slumber and vigorously join in. We have moved from A minor to C major, and I invite you to rejoice with the basses as they get to sing their word all, as in, "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." This is the only time I recall Handel having basses sing an upward scale from low A to the E above middle C, an octave and a fifth. That upward sweep exemplifies the rising theme in these verses. What I like most about Handel's treatment of these contrasting statements is that he offers us no transition. There is nothing that prepares us for the abrupt change. This music beautifully reflects the way we are yanked from the gloom of Good Friday to the exuberance of Easter. In just 3 pages of my vocal score, we experience the emotional swing from the conclusion of Lent to the bewildered joy of Easter. So I leave you with this glorious music, wishing a happy Easter to all of God's children everywhere.